They had to show feet. They had to. Who made the call? I want to know who decided we've got to show some toe jam here on Bet Sweats. What the hell is going on? It's the debut of 10 Toes Down. We think it's going to be awesome, but you guys have to decide on how much you like this segment, 10 Toes Down. As you could tell from the open, what we think it's going to be, hot take, fire take. What you got? Put all 10 toes down, Femi. Put them down. What's your hot take in sports as we enter the start of the NFL season? That's what we're going to do. And everybody's going to be involved. It's not just myself and Sam. Paul's got one. Jake, and it's going to be the return of Gurch on Air. Sam, I mean, the people are demanding more Gurch. Wasn't that true when you were going to shut the podcast off? No. I need more of this guy. I need more anti-David Bowie takes.
That intro was incredible. And they got our guy Thor Nystrom in there telling me that I'm going to go in the wood chipper, and then he went in the wood chipper. Very good. Very well done. Very well done on 10 Toes Down. I guess I'll go first. I don't know the order. I just decided that I'm going to go first, and then we're going to go five across. So myself, Joe, Paul, Jake, Gurch all have something. And I don't know what the penalty is. Paul was asking earlier, if we get a prediction or a take extremely wrong, do we lose a toe? I don't know. I don't know the rules. We've never done this segment before. But I will start, okay? The New England Patriots, not only are they missing the playoffs, but they are the most overrated team in the NFL right now. And I understand there's upside there, and people are very excited about Mike Vrabel. But you were also very excited about Gerard Mayo. Because remember, Bill Belichick lost his fastball. I moved to Boston in December of 2020. And I had to hear about how Mac Jones was the next coming of Christ. And that did not work out. And then they fired the coach. And then they hired a new offensive coordinator. And then they got a new head coach. And then Mac didn't work. Oh, it was Mac's fault. So now Drake May's the answer. Got it. So now he's the savior. Okay. So you pair Mac Jones and Gerard Mayo. Oh, well, Gerard Mayo's not a good coach. Okay, got it. So now we're going to go get Mike Vrabel. And he's going to fix everything on a team that went 4-13 last year. That is also starting a left tackle and a left guard that are rookies. With a quarterback that I don't even know is good yet. People are excited about it. People are fantasy excited about it. I think they're going to lose week one. So my 10 toes down is that the Las Vegas Raiders, with Geno Smith, Ashton Jeanty, Max Crosby, and former Patriots coach Pete Carroll, come into Foxborough Sunday and upset the Patriots. Raiders over the Pats, 20-17, 10 toes down.
Love it. Love it. Calling his shot on the Raiders, week number one. Patriots Nation, I know you're hearing from them. I know for a fact. You haven't talked much about, I'm hearing from them. 6:27 a.m., I'm getting a text about your Patriots thoughts about how are they possibly going to lose to the Raiders. Yes, the people are upset with you, and I hope that you're proven right, because that would be a beautiful thing. I'm sure there's going to be people taking New England in Survivor because they think Vrabel is that good. We'll see. Sammy's 10 toes down. Raiders win outright on the road as a dog this week. All right. Mine is related to a quarterback that changed teams. Sam Darnold. He was fifth in passing yards in the NFL last year. Over 4,300 yards. 35 touchdowns. Sixth in the NFL in yards per attempt. Okay. That's pretty awesome. Here's the problem. He's going from Kevin O'Connell to Clint Kubiak. And I know a lot of people like Kubiak, and they talk about his dad, how things go in New Orleans last year. He still had weapons. I know they're older, but you know, obviously the quarterback play not good. That Saints offense was brutal. This is a JSN show, but you are going from one of the best in the game, Justin Jefferson, to JSN as your number one. You are going from Jordan Addison, who had a ton of touchdowns last year, 9 of them. Jefferson had 10, Addison had 9, to Cooper Kupp, a guy that we don't know if he has anything left. And they move on from DK Metcalf. The situation is not the same. I'm not buying that Sam Darnold learned a lot. He's going to go from breakout player to a quarterback breaking down. He's going to go from the Pro Bowl to the toilet bowl. My 10 toes down, Sam Darnold will not be a top 20 quarterback this year. We might see some lock time. We might see some Milrow time. I'm not buying Seattle at all, and I'm not buying that Sam Darnold backs up what he did in Minnesota.
Fair, fair. I like it.
All right. Let's bring the fellas in. It's time for Paul. The Kelly Green hat is on. He's ready for the season opener tonight, Eagles and Cowboys. Paul, what is your 10 toes down?
If you know, you know, there's a Philly angle to this, but not directly. Marvin Harrison Jr. will have the best season. We'll put a number on. We'll have the most yards of any year two wide receiver. You look at the totals. Brian Thomas Jr., 1150.5. Neighbors, 1150.5. Marvin, 975.5. Worthy, 900. Odunze, 875.5. You want to add him, Pearsall, and Leggett. Those are the round one guys. So, look, Marvin, no bones about it. Had a disappointing year one as a top five pick. Look at this schedule, guys. 7 of the first 8 games in a dome. At New Orleans, dome. Name a corner on New Orleans. Panthers at home in a dome. Okay, they're at San Francisco. Seattle at home in their dome. Tennessee at home in their dome. At Indy, dome. Green Bay at home, dome. At wow. Dallas, dome. 7 of 9 of their first 9 in a dome. 8 of their first 10 in a dome. 13 of their 17 games are in a dome. So I think Kyler's going to put up a bunch of yards. Marvin is going to have the season we expected from Marvin Harrison Jr. as a top five pick. So he will have more yards than Brian Thomas, Neighbors, Worthy, Odunze this season.
He's been forgotten about a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like one year that wasn't great, he didn't meet expectations, and I'm not going to say he's been completely written off, but Sam, that's a pretty good case there. The schedule makers are making it very kind on Arizona. At least they won't be dealing with the elements. Like the only one outside, even late, they're at Tampa. They're at Houston, at Cincinnati. Maybe that's bad weather, week 17, and then at the LA Rams. Like there might be one game all year where they're dealing with the elements.
Any bets to be made there aside from over the total? Is there a longer shot on offensive player of the year, Paul?
I bet the 100-1. I don't think it can win because of the 100, you know, the year two wide receiver, even a Justin Jefferson. There's not a precedent for that. But especially looking at this early slate, like maybe that's something where he becomes at the top of the board after the first month, first 6 weeks, and you can flip it or. I mean, we don't like to do cash outs on this show, but maybe there's a way to monetize that at 100-1. And there's a stray 100-1. A lot of places are 50. So I did bet the 100-1 because at that number, I just kind of had to. When guys, again, if you're doing the year two wide receiver, and Joe, I know you mentioned this bet yesterday, but if Brian Thomas Jr. is 35-1, I got to place a bet on Marvin at 100.
Sure. Sure.
I think you could bet over 6 and a half touchdowns. I think, honestly, over 6.5 touchdowns is probably the best bet to make. You could play 10-plus touchdowns this season at plus 250.
Where else is the ball going? Zay Jones?
Trey McBride over the middle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. But there's a ceiling there, you would think. But, yeah, he got a ton of targets last year for sure. Okay, that's a pretty good look. All right, let's go to Jake. Is it Illini related? I don't know. Jake, what is your 10 toes down?
I would love to say it's the Illini, but I am not 10 toes down on them this week. We'll talk about that in lightning bets, but it makes my stomach hurt thinking about that game. No, my 10 toes down is the same market, and Paul mentioned it. I think Brian Thomas Jr. just wins Offensive Player of the Year. If we think Liam Cohen fixes this offense and Liam Cohen fixes Trevor Lawrence, you have Travis Hunter there as the number two to take pressure off Brian Thomas Jr. He's one of those guys that's down the board, 35-1. And I was looking at Jacksonville's schedule too. Like, they get Seattle at home, so they don't have to face that defense on the road. They start with the Panthers and the Bengals. You get the Raiders, dome. Texans, dome. Titans, terrible. Colts, dome. I kind of think that if Liam Cohen is everything that he's cracked up to be, Brian Thomas Jr., year two jump, offensive player of the year, 35-1. Huge dome show.
Love dome.
Let's go.
Always said that about you.
That's Brian Thomas, O-P-O-Y. All right, we're in on the year two wide receivers. The moment that everybody's been waiting for, I'll show. It's Gertz time. Gertz, 10 toes down. What you got besides
good morning, gentlemen.
Chicken breast?
Chicken breast. So, as we know, that I am the fantasy football guy on our show here, and my 10 toes down is going to be with the Los Angeles Rams. And I really hope that throughout everyone's fantasy drafts over the summer, they stayed away from every single Rams position player. Puka, Devontae, Adams, and Kyren. I'm out on every single one of them. And it really kind of all goes back to Matt Stafford's health. And we've seen what this offense looks like without Matt Stafford at quarterback. We saw the Brett Rippon experience last year, and it was absolutely awful. So I am completely out on every single Rams player for fantasy. The Ramley is officially dead, Jake. That is right. And then so relate that back to a little bit of betting. I am out on Rams making the playoffs. I am under Rams win total. Completely out on everything Los Angeles Rams related. 10 toes down.
Woo! I love it. We were just early, right? I mean, that was it. Out on the Rams, we were just
one year
a little
early.
Bit early. Yep.
This show is never wrong, just early in all things.
Exactly. Yes. Correct. So if we go, here's what I'm thinking. As Gertz is going through that, I'm looking up the odds now. Rams last place in the West. Is that a thing?
Yes.
I mean, I hate Seattle, but I'm wondering if it's not Stafford, that could happen. Rams last place, it's plus 375. I thought he would get a better number than that.
And we know Devontae
Rams to miss
Jimmy Garoppolo, so.
Yeah.
Rams to miss playoffs, plus 125, BetMGM.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with that. We like San Francisco. We lean Arizona a little bit more, but definitely out on Seattle for me. And it sounds like we're out on the Rams. Man, there was so much love out there in the offseason on Devontae. Like, he's dialing back the clock a little bit. I don't know. I got to see it first before I'm willing to believe it.
The quarterback, he's not even taking contact. The season starts on Sunday. So, good luck.
Why aren't we talking about what we'll break down all the games tomorrow? But maybe we I'm taking the Texans. I feel like that game's not talked about a ton. The market's at 3. There's one very public book that's 3.5 right now. Man, I like the Texans a lot in that game until like Stafford and the rest of them prove us all wrong.
Just in honor of 10 toes down, I may have to be clicking a little bit here on a little Raiders and Texans moneyline parlay. I think that's a decent look, and you get two small dogs that explode the odds. Because when you parlay a dog and a dog, a plus sign and a plus sign, to the moon.
I will. All right. To further back up my bet, I'll be betting some Marvin most receiving yards this weekend. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, I like that. I like
I've seen one market posted, but it includes tonight, and it's at 40. So I'm not gonna do that. But they'll be everywhere tomorrow. They should be everywhere tomorrow.
My first guess was 50, as you said that. So maybe you'll be able to find that. Yeah, a lot of times they end up posting that later in our show on Friday. All right, the debut of 10 Toes Down. Each of us with a hot take with the upcoming NFL season. I like it. We'll try to make sure that we do this every single Thursday on the show. Joe O, Sammy P, you've got Bet Sweats, All right, coming up next, we've got Leighton Betts later this hour, but we'll go out to Vegas. We'll check in with our friend John Murray, find out where the sharp money is going, NFL and college on the other side. You've got the BetMGM Network. Start of the NFL season tonight, Joe O, Sammy P, BetSweats, BetMGM Network. Let's go out to Vegas, bring in our buddy John Murray from the Westgate Superbook, talk about where the sharp action is going on. And Sam, you had the bear in your room because you're out in New York recording later today, bear bets. And everybody's talking Survivor. We're all talking Survivor. People are throwing out Cincinnati. And I got uneasy just with the conversation of Cincinnati. How you doing, John?
I'm good. I can't do Cincinnati, Joe. No. I told you guys off the air, I've been knocked out of that contest two times in week one. A couple years ago, the Bengals lost to the Steelers. If you remember that, they missed an extra point. Not that I hold a grudge. And then last year, I think like half the pool got knocked out when they lost to the Patriots. So I can't do it again. I'm going somewhere else, buddy.
So you don't believe in the do theory. Joe gave the stat the other day. The last 6 years, the Bengals are 1-11 straight up in the first 2 weeks.
Okay. Okay.
Zach well, Taylor.
Do you remember Sam, do you remember what the Simpsons when Krusty the Clown made all that money on the Clown College and bet it all on the Washington Generals?
Because I thought the Generals were due.
Yeah. I mean, that's really bad gambling advice, man. I mean, Krusty the Clown, he lost all the Clown College money. I'm not losing all my Survivor money on the do theory, pal. I'm going somewhere else.
I'm with you. I tried to talk my guys into Philly, and they don't want to do Philly because they want to save Philly for Black Friday when they play the Bears and your guy, Caleb Williams. So we can talk ourselves in and out of anything, but I think the biggest issue, the more people you have in Survivor, and you're in Survivor, we can talk about this. When you have three, four people in a pool, there's so much analysis paralysis, and then everybody starts getting pissed at each other.
You know, the only time I've really done well in these pools, and I've been playing in these contests since I've been in Vegas since 2007, here's some serious advice. The only time I've done well, the only time I've cashed was when I did it by myself. Mm-hmm. And maybe that sounds arrogant, but I don't really mean for it to sound arrogant. I mean it seriously. I didn't have all these different voices saying what to do, what not to do, second guessing everybody. It was just me going in. And now this is two caches out of like 1,000 entries. This is not bragging. I don't think it's a coincidence that the only times I did well is because I was by myself. When you have too many chefs in the kitchen, Sam, I don't know if it works. It also depends on how loud some of those chefs are. You know, I've been paired with some friends of yours over the years that had very strong opinions. And I think it didn't help. Let's say that.
There are a number of contests going by the name Kelly and Murray. That you can sign up for right now. Yeah. which I'm guessing.
I don't know what you're talking about, Joe.
Yeah. What about the noise as far as tonight? Because you're referencing that. I think that's very smart advice if you're in these contests. But there's a lot of noise relating to no more Micah Parsons in a Cowboys uniform. When you look at how much this point spread has moved and what his true value is, what's happening over at the book there?
I think Parsons is one of the best defensive players in the league. I'm not going out on a limb there, but we never expected a 100% Micah Parsons to be playing in tonight's game. Maybe if he had worked out a deal with Dallas in the last 7 days, he might have taken the field. I'm sure he's been working out all summer, obviously, but I don't think anybody thought he was going to be the full defensive player of the year caliber Micah Parsons tonight. I don't think he'll be that player on Sunday for Green Bay either. I really don't think that the line move here has that much to do with the Micah Parsons trade. It's more to do with a lot of people betting on Philadelphia. And what are we going to get tonight, guys? You already know this. Moneyline parlays and teasers starting with the Eagles. How many teasers are the books going to write going from Philadelphia tonight to Denver? Talk about another popular Survivor play. Denver, Sunday afternoon, they play Tennessee. I think Arizona is going to be in a lot of teasers. And I think the Washington, they call them the Commanders, Sam, the Washington Commanders at home against the New York Football Giants. That's another one. But the big one's going to be Philadelphia, Denver. And the books are already seeing that. And I think that's why you're seeing that number move up a little bit.
Yeah, that was the protection that we were talking about earlier, Joe. And I wrote about this for Fox today with NFL czar Ed Sammons from the Westgate. And he said, look, they're going to just tease it. They're going to tease it at 8. Yeah. Let's just get ahead of it. Let's move to 8.5, see what happens. And then there was finally some support for the Cowboys. I personally call the team the football team, formerly known as the football team. I think it's very funny. I also think Washington should just change the name every year. Think about the merch you could rack in every single year if you just change the team name every year.
They did such a good job with the Commanders branding. I would be really excited to see what they would do next, Sam. You know, that was such a popular name. It's a good idea. I think that's probably,
very good name. All right, so you know I like the Raiders. You had said during the break you saw some sharp accounts on the Raiders. What else are the Sharps like so far week one?
Yeah, we did. Raiders +3.5 and +3. They're at New England. And then another side note there, New England was such a popular team in the offseason, guys. You know, they had – everybody liked their draft. Everybody liked the addition of Mike Vrabel, the hiring of Mike Vrabel. They spent a ton of money in free agency. They were such a popular futures team. But what we saw towards the end of the summer was sharp groups coming in under their win total. So betting under the New England win total and betting on the Raiders plus the points week one, some savvy groups there. I would say Tampa Bay is another sharp side we've seen this week at the book. And then on Monday night, Minnesota, that they've flipped, the favorite flipped in that game. They play at Sam's Bears and Caleb Williams, my guy, on Monday night. So those are three. And then, and also this week, early in the week, Carolina got some sharp money. Carolina's an interesting team. Because, you know, I think everybody wrote off the quarterback last season. Everybody wrote that team off. But they were starting to play better at the end of the year. And that division, I do like Tampa, but look, that division is not the AFC North, Joe. It's not the NFC West. It's not one of the better divisions in the league. There's a possibility there that a team could come out of nowhere and win the NFC South. I don't think it's that crazy to think Carolina could be in the mix.
Go to get some public is not the wisest betting strategy blind, right? But we were talking earlier in the week how it seems like early on in seasons that they're just horrendous. And you guys saw it at the book last week in college football. Last NBA season, I remember with Sam, we were talking about the first couple weeks, how bad the public was. Do you recall them doing that with the NFL? Do they tend to struggle early on? Or is it just, you know, year by year, sometimes they do well?
I think it varies. I mean, the one difference with the NFL and college is there's only going to be a couple of big decisions for us this week. You know, there's going to be maybe 3 to 5 games that'll really tilt the weekend for us. And if we don't get enough of those games, we're not going to do well. College football, it's a lot more spread out. We had so many big decisions last week. You know, everybody talked about the Texas game. We did well in that game. We did well on Miami beating Notre Dame. We cleaned up when Florida State beat Alabama. The decisions were just spread out all over the weekend. This week, you're probably going to get – I'm sure we'll have a big decision on Sunday night football. We always do. And then we'll really need one of the afternoon games. It'll probably be Tennessee against Denver. That'd be my guess. But there's only going to be a couple really big swings. And if we don't get them, we're not going to do well. So I don't know. I can't say that I've seen anything about the public doing poorly necessarily in week one versus any other week.
I'm sure you haven't seen a lot of this because you're so busy and you have a lot of things going on in Nevada, but these books across the country now, John, Joe and I brought it up yesterday, and then we got a bunch of reaction offline, tweets, DMs, all that. There's a book in Illinois that is dealing 2-team 6-point teasers at -148. And we discussed that yesterday. Ridiculous. Only to be outdone by other books in other states dealing -154, -160, and -170 on teasers now.
Yeah, I mean, I got to think, I don't want to speak for another operator, but my guess would be that they did very poorly on teasers last year. Remember last season in the NFL was so, the public did so well, the chalk did so well. That could be a reaction of somebody looking at the teaser results from last season and saying, we got to change the pricing. That would be my guess, but I don't want to speak for those operators. But, you know, the good thing that there is, if you're a player, if you're a customer of one of those books, you don't have to bet teasers. And if they're – what was that last price you gave, Sam? -164?
-160? -170.
I think I blacked out. -170. Look, if they're doing two team 6-pointers at -170, they're basically telling you, don't bet your two team teasers here, right? Yep. You got to go somewhere else for those. You have no chance of winning. And I don't know exactly what you're doing there, but I'm sure that if you're doing favorite teasers at that price, you'd be better off doing a money line parlay. So always check to see. Now, it's different if you're teasing up, through 7, up through those numbers. But if you're teasing down, trying to make it a pick 'em, check the money line parlay price. I bet it's better than -170.
With John Murray, the Superbook out in Las Vegas, you mentioned how popular New England was. It has been throughout this offseason. Any other teams that stand out, whether it's win total, Super Bowl, where they can't stop betting them?
Yeah, definitely Denver. You know, Denver's a team that I bet over 5.5 wins last season. They started 0-2. There was a lot of trouble in paradise there, but they righted the ship. They actually ended up making the playoffs. And now everybody seems to be picking them again this season. More money came in on their win total yesterday at the book. They're a very popular week one play. I'm guessing they will be the number one play in Survivor this week, guys. We talked about Survivor. Denver is a team getting a lot of publicity, a lot of play in the futures market, but that is a really tough division. We think the Raiders are going to be better this year, and we know that the Chargers are going to be good, and obviously Kansas City is going to be in the mix for the Super Bowl again. So I would say Denver's a team. It's already, in my opinion, they're overpriced a little bit. I think there's probably a better place to go for your futures bets, but they're a very popular team. And then one team getting a lot of sharp play in the last, call it, 10 days is the New York Giants. The New York Giants over their win total. They got a lot of good players on defense. We'll see what happens at quarterback there. The Cowboys may be taking a step back this season without Micah Parsons, but Washington and Philadelphia do look very good in that division. Giants do have a tough schedule, but there is a lot of talent there, and they were a massive underachiever last season. So it does make sense people be looking to bet them over this year.
When your shop found out about the Parsons trade, what's the first thing you guys did, and how's the action been maybe on the Packers or the North in general in the NFC?
You know what's funny? Nowadays, you have so many markets. You have so many, like, team with the worst record, team with the best record. First thing you had to do was close everything and then reassess it all. Didn't do much with week one, but certainly tweaked all the teams in the NFC North. You know, you can raise the Lions a little bit. Raise the Bears, raise the Vikings a little bit, because now you've got to believe Green Bay is going to be better. And then we raised all the Cowboys stuff, bumped down a little bit of the NFC East teams. Dallas, I don't really know exactly what Dallas is doing, but I do think it makes Green Bay a lot stronger. They're a team. They just brought in one of the best defensive players in the whole league. They got a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. They're in a really tough division. And you look at Dallas, their defense was terrible last year, and now they traded away their best player. I think Dallas is going to score a lot of points, but it's hard to picture them winning many football games with that defense.
What about sharp action in college football for week number two?
I feel like week two games aren't that good, fellas. You know, I like complaining about the schedule every week, Joe. And I looked at the schedule. I didn't think it was that good, but a couple sharp sides we got. We got Oregon State against Fresno, Maryland against Northern Illinois, Toledo against Western Kentucky. Toledo had an easy cover for me last week, guys. You know, very easily covered against Kentucky. I was very pleased with that easy win last week. But no, college football, I feel like they're doing the right thing. You know, they had a front-loaded schedule last week. They know everybody's going to be NFL-focused this week, and it looks like they took a little bit of a step back. I think Michigan-Oklahoma is a great game on Saturday night, but quiet week so far in college football. The focus here very much on Sam's league, the NFL.
I was waiting for you guys to hang a market. What will happen more, touchdowns in Iowa, Iowa State, or punts in Iowa, Iowa State? I was waiting for that market,
John. I can talk to the guys. I like that. I mean – wasn't punts like a huge favorite though? I mean, I don't I'll have to take a look at that one. Yeah, that's actually a decent game, though. There's a couple of pretty good games. I really think Michigan-Oklahoma is interesting because the winner of that game is really going to be in a position to make the college football playoff. But they both have really, really tough schedules in their conferences this season, both with new quarterbacks that are both getting a lot of buzz. We took a lot of money on John Mateer to win Heisman. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a big liability for us in the Heisman pool. I didn't get to see the Michigan game last week. I know they beat New Mexico. I didn't see any of that game. I'd like to get eyes on Underwood, see what he looks like. And I do think – I make my jokes about this week, but I do think that game's very interesting.
Yep, for sure. John Murray, Superbook out in Las Vegas. Thank you, John. Enjoy all the football this weekend.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
All right, good stuff there. Sharp action, college and the NFL. So take note there. Also take note of lightning bets on the other side. Joe O, Sammy P, Bet Sweats, the BetMGM network. Getting to lightning bets coming up. Terrific show today. If you missed any of it, make sure you check it out via podcast or the rewind feature on the Odyssey app. Shea and Irving, Ian Harditz, and right there, John Murray joining us, the debut of 10 Toes Down. I'm already catching flack for my 10 toes. Oh, yeah, Joe, great call. Sam Darnold, he's going to suck. He got a $100 million contract. Like, he was fifth in the league in passing yards. I said not top 20. That's pretty bad if you pay a guy $100 million and he's riding the pond, and I can see that coming up this year. New feature that we're going to try and implement into the show this season. You got to go on the Odyssey app, follow the BetMGM network. We all tweet out the link on a constant basis, betmgmnetwork.com. That's how you listen to it. It'll take you right to that page, okay? Follow the BetMGM Network, and on the BetMGM Network page on the Odyssey app, you will see send a voice message. So we're going to try to work that into the show. Maybe you have a 10 toes down. Maybe you want to yell at us for getting a pick wrong coming up this weekend. You can leave us a voice message, and maybe we'll play it on the show.
I love this. Interaction is king. And if you're wondering, what does it look like? If you're watching visually right now on YouTube or on Twitch, here's the BetMGM Network. You see that button right there next to the Listen Live button? That's it. That little microphone right there, right next to the orange button. All you do is hit that little microphone, and it goes right to Jake. And then Jake gets to play gatekeeper because that's what Jake loves to do.
Oh, no. What are they going to say? Jake, if it's really bad, just don't even bother. Well, maybe you could edit it.
The real bad ones will just go straight to the Ramley text thread. We'll do it that way.
Good.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
We can bleep. We can bleep things out.
We can.
Well, how bad are we willing to go? They start talking about our moms and stuff like that. Like, I could see that. It could go down a bad road. Have you read the iTunes reviews? They go off on Jake from time to time, you know?
Sometimes I was going
to
say, what was the one? I don't know. I'm pretty know-it-all or whatever that one guy said.
Or like a smug face. Yeah.
Smug. Smug. That's what it was. I'm very smug.
No. It was better than that. I'm going to find it. I want to find it.
Okay. All right. While you're looking for that, saw this from the Rich Eisen show. Everybody loves Bill Burr. And we know he's a diehard everything New England area, Boston area sports guy, right? And so he's going to defend Bill Belichick to the end. And he will turn the tables on you. If sports comes up, any interview, he turns the tables. He goes on the attack, right? That's what Bill Burr does. So the subject of Bill Belichick, his debut with North Carolina came up. Take a listen, Burr and Eisen.
Nothing that happens at the University of North Carolina is going to affect what happened in the NFL. You can try to make that be something.
No, and there are other shows talking about what happens in North Carolina could affect his legacy.
Let's talk about the major stories here today. You remember Emmitt Smith on the Phoenix Cardinals?
The Phoenix Cardinals.
What happened?
Terrible.
I mean, I just don't think he has the passion anymore.
That's what Belichick on the sidelines of North Carolina means
to you. He gave the guy one game.
I know, but...
You're sitting there falling all over yourself to get on the good side of Arch Manning.
It was only one game. Keep your head up there, kid.
You got a senior citizen who goes south to retire, and you're kicking his cane out from underneath him.
I love Bill Burr. So good. Love it. Go after Eisen. There's so, I hate it when, and I'm not saying Eisen was doing it, when you'll hear at press conferences, people say, what do you say to people that say this? You mean you? Is that your question? Do you have the balls to ask me the question, or you want to hide behind that?
I love that poll. Emmett Smith, Phoenix Cardinals, only to be outdone. Do you remember at the tail end of his career when Jerry Rice was a Seattle Seahawk? I completely forgot about that because he went to the Raiders. Everybody remembers that. Goes to the Raiders. But then he was a Seahawk, and I believe for a very small period of time, Jerry Rice was a Denver Bronco. Nobody remembers that.
Really?
I believe so.
Burr's right, though. It's not going to impact his legacy in any way. Nobody's going to think about it. If it's really bad, nobody's going to care. It's about what they did in the great moments and the impact they made on the game. Like that, the Patriots years is what people are going to talk about. It's not going to impact his legacy in any way. It is sad, though, when you see guys that just hanging on, they want one more contract, and they go to some terrible team. I guarantee you that that was on Burr's mind because in the Cowboys documentary that's on Netflix, they did show that. And Emmett didn't want to be there, and he was talking about it, but he wanted to still play one more year, get another contract, so he went to the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm. I've actually fallen asleep to multiple episodes of the Cowboy documentary. Does that mean it's good? Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I think the middle was good, like Cowboys Niners. When they were kind of passing the torch from the Niners to the Cowboys, that part was good. But I think the beginning and the end kind of sucked.
Well, the NFL owns a big piece of that, as Shay talked about. And you know what else I'd like to correct real quick? ESPN got a lot of flack yesterday for the Red Zone. Because Red Zone is now going to have commercials. And Scott Hansen was on McAfee saying he's going to open up with 7 hours of Red Zone football starts now. No longer 7 hours of commercial-free football, 7 hours of Red Zone football. But that is an NFL mandate. I want to be very, very clear about that. And Scott Van Pelt was talking about this yesterday. This is not an ESPN decision. Now, you could say maybe this is good for ESPN going forward because it's more money in their pockets. But this is an NFL media decision. NFL produces Red Zone, not ESPN.
That's a very good point. That ESPN's going to get a lot of flack on this, but it wasn't their decision. They were already doing commercials, and McAfee talked about this as well. And he is right. And, I mean, he's supporting the brand and all that, but they did have, like, the wraparound ads. They would sometimes, you know, let's jam 10, 15 seconds in here. But now it sounds like commercial breaks, and Hansen was going out of his way. You're not going to miss. Like, when there's an important game, witching hour, you're not going to miss anything. He made sure to do that, but nobody's happy, and I certainly understand why. It's another thing that people are spending money on, and they're not getting exactly what they thought they were getting.
The internet, though, was great yesterday. The reaction to it, all the highlights with the Burger King Whopper commercials spliced in. Jaden Daniels throwing the Hail Mary, and right before it's caught, Whopper, 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 Whopper. Very funny. Very, very funny.
All right.
Lightning bets. NFL. We have to give a bet tonight. I lean to the Cowboys, but I'm not going to go there. I think Dak's number on passing attempts is too low. And I want to bet this now because by the time we get to kickoff, this number might be higher and the juice might be worse. So you can go Dak over 36.5 passes at -108, -110, readily available right now. BetMGM, -130. So we might be on the way to 37.5, Joe, and I don't want it to land 37 and people get a bad number. I agree with my guy Freddie, over 36.5 passes on Dak.
Like that. The attempts should be there tonight. And even if it's a close game, it wouldn't surprise me if they're there because they don't want to run the football. They don't have the talent to run the football. All right. I'll probably tell you and play that as well. I am playing Ferguson over 33.5 receiving yards. It's funny that props wise, we're landing on Cowboys and first touchdown of the game because of the value. We were talking about Cowboys Like you brought up Lamb at 12. I brought up Ferguson 19. We see Dak is 50. We'll probably have something there. But for lightning bets, you're doing Dak pass attempts. I'm going to Ferguson over on the yards. And before the week kicks off, we're not taking Philly for Survivor. I think you landed on Denver. I'm going to be picking Denver, and I'll have some Arizona as well, even though I'm a little uncomfortable with it.
Yeah, I do like Denver. I understand it'll be a popular pick in the big contest, and that's fine. But I'll probably do Denver. I like San Francisco, but I got pushback there. Maybe I go Denver-Jacksonville. But definitely have to have at least one of my entries on Denver. I agree with you.
People think Seattle's going to win that game?
People don't like road favorites inside the division.
Yeah, divisional matchups. I understand. That was on my commandment list. Also, pick a winner. All right, let's go to Jake and Paul. Paul, start us off. What are you doing for lightning bets?
All right, I know I'm wearing this Eagles hat, but I am also looking at Cowboys. So, Joe, same theory or same church, different pew. I'm going to go Schoonmaker. First touchdown at 66. I think tight end angle as well, but I'm going to play that. And then I think definitely a potential for a track meet here. Eagles, a lot of new pieces on defense, ring ceremony, banner ceremony, et cetera, et cetera. No, Cowboys team total over 19.5 at -110. I think that's a way to play the total and get a little bit of a lower number. And you don't have to worry about the full game as well.
All right, Jake, what you got?
Only one bet in tonight's game for me. I'm going to go Pickens, longest reception. Feel like head case, but they're going to want to get him involved, and he's a deep threat, so I'll go with that. And I don't want anything to do with the side of the total because I feel like this is just going to get weird, so I'm good. Baseball bets, I'm going to keep betting the Astros as long as you give me plus money against the Yankees. I think they're way better. And let's go the White Sox for the sweep. We're pricing them at plus 130 against a Twins team that is basically us. So I'll take the White Sox. Get the sweep, baby.
All right. Thank you, Jake. Go for the end zone without breaking a sweat with a Pro Football No Sweat token. You'll get your stake back in bonus bets if you don't win over at BetMGM. And don't forget, just like last football season, that winning football Sundays start with the BetMGM network. Sunday mornings, you wake up with BetMGM Game Day. Myself, Kate Constable, and Jason Lockenfora, we set the stage 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern every Sunday morning. Then it's You Better You Bet countdown to kickoff. Nick Costos, Sammy P, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. takes you right to kickoff of all the games. Live movement, props, fantasy. We've got you covered with it all right here on the BetMGM Network. Tomorrow's Friday. We go over the entire week one NFL slate, react to what we saw last night, look ahead to the weekend in college football. You'll want to be here 9 a.m. Eastern. For Sam, I'm Joe. This has been Bet Sweats on the BetMGM Network.